Well, good morning. I can't believe we haven't said this yet. He is risen.
He is risen.
Oh, they were itching for that one. Woo! I'm going to say it a couple more times. Tim, thank you for letting us sing through the Easter story. It was fantastic. Worship team, appreciate that. He is risen.
He is risen.
Yeah, you know, that's all I have to do is stand up here and say that. I want to thank the teams that have helped put to get today on, Edie and her team, Lori and her team. The flowers were fresh from some of you guys who contributed towards that. A lot goes into a day like today. Also that we can say, he is risen.
He is risen.
Oh man, what a truth. You know, somebody, well, I get this every year, man. It's a big one, Pastor. It's like your Super Bowl today. We celebrate the risen Christ every Sunday. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But what a day to gather. I mean, once a year I'll wear pastels, and the rest of the time I'll be in brown and black. So, does the name Philippe Petit mean anything to anybody? Oh, a couple of you. Philippe Petit. All right, so about 50-plus years ago, a 24-year-old named Philippe Petit, who happened to be a tightrope walker, come on now, August 24th, 1974, some of you guys are like, I was there. Yeah, raise your hand if you were alive in 1974. Okay, good, that's some of you. Raise your hand if you were not. Okay, that's also some of you, very good. This guy strung up a tightrope, I think it was with an arrow and everything, across the two towers of the Twin Towers, right? And walked across. It's fantastic. And of course, as soon as he got to the other side, he was arrested for disorderly conduct and like something else. But they did eventually drop the charges because he put on a free like tightrope walking thing in Central Park. So it was all good. Okay, so I want you to imagine with me, for those that were not born in 1974, you got to use your imagination here. For those that were alive, imagine you were an eager teenager, 1971, okay? You're sitting around doing what eager teenagers do. Mike, you were there, eager teenager, yeah? That's about, what were you, don't tell us what you're doing in 1971. If Mike was sitting around 1971 doing what eager teenagers did in 1971, and imagine Philippe Petit walks by and says, hey, you want to hang? Mike would have been like, no, but the friend sitting next to him would have been like, yeah. Right? So then Mike came along, of course, because can't let his friend go and him not go. So you're hanging out with Philippe Petit, and at first you're just watching him. Right, you're watching what he does. You're watching him tie the knots. You're watching him do some core exercises to make sure he's got some strength, right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, "Hey, Philippe, can I try?" So it's like, "Yeah. I'm gonna teach you." Okay, he's like, "Here, see this crack in the sidewalk? Just walk along that." You guys have done this, haven't you? Yeah, it's harder than it looks. Okay, but in 1971, you crushed it. Man, you thought to yourself, give me something more. So he's like, all right, see the curb? Now, before you say that's easy too, I've known two friends that have broken feet on a curb. Okay, so you know, it's a little risky. Mike knows what it wasn't you, was it?
My uncle.
Your uncle. I now know three people who broke their feet walking on a curb. Okay, so you walk across the curb and, you know, a little harder. You might have stepped off a time or two, but Philippe's there. He's giving you a high five, and he's like, that's pretty good, right? So most of the time you were with Philippe, you were either watching him or you were reading up on tightrope walking, okay? Because back then they didn't have YouTube. Those are dark ages. My goodness. So you had to read up on tightrope walking. So you studied it. You looked at it. Mostly you were just hanging out with him. Okay, so he saw you were ready, and he's like, let's put you on a slack line. So you start off about 8 inches. You're imagining with me, aren't you? You're there, right? You're a little, you know, 8 inches off the ground. You're walking along, okay, and you fell off a time or two or three, but you made it. Right? You bump from 8 inches up to 18 inches, and it took some time practicing, but you got across. Hey, you move from 18 inches up to 36 to 3 feet high. Well, sorry, that's not 3 feet. Here we go. That's six, thank you. Yeah, 6 feet tall. You're up to 3 feet, you make it across, and you're just going nuts, and Philippe is cheering you on, and he's like, hey, man, you know what? I got a spare slack line in my bag. Here, you take it. Go and practice, right? Do the knots I've taught you. Walk across, you know, just go have some fun. In 3 years of hanging out with Philippe passes before you know it, and all of a sudden it's 1974, you're sitting around with Philippe, a couple other friends, you're coming up with this plan to string a tightrope across the two towers and to walk across. Oh, you were there that day. Okay, and so you're on one side and you see him go and your heart's racing, you're sweating, can't even imagine what he's doing, but he gets across and you're going nuts. So you're on top of one of the towers, you run all the way down, you cross the street looking both ways before you cross, okay? And then you start running up the other towers and you meet Philippe on his way down, but he's handcuffed. But he's got a smile on his face. And as the police walk by with him, he says to you, hey, go get some friends. Go do what I'm doing. Except, you know what? Go bigger. Go higher. What would you have felt? 1,350 feet he just walked across. Bit nervous? Now, you made it to 36 inches, maybe even to 72 if that's the next step up. I don't know. Okay, but 1,350, he's telling you, grab your friends, go do more, go do higher? I wonder if your pit in your stomach right now is the same thing the disciples felt when Jesus looked at them and said, hey, you go and do what I've been doing, except do it bigger, do it better. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for a day like today where we can celebrate a risen Christ. I thank you for the truth of this. And Lord, the truth that we can see lived out in the lives, the changed lives of so many of us in here. Lord, this is a story that needs to be told. And I thank you that you took the time to break into humanity, to live with us as one of us, to carry our sins on the cross, to be risen from the dead on the third day, and to invite us to go and do what you have done as well. We look forward, Lord, to what you're going to say to and through and to us the rest of the day. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 He is risen. Tell you what, we didn't do it before this. I'm going to do it all through the service. All right. If you've got a Bible, turn or tap with me to John chapter 14. We're in week 4 of a 5-week series that we're titling "The Practicing the Way." Okay, it's a series on discipleship. Now, if you're new to church or new to the church language, discipleship is essentially apprenticeship. It's like becoming a journeyman plumber. It's like becoming a medical resident. It's where you are learning from somebody else what they do so that you can become like them. That's what Jesus did. 2,000 years ago in Judea, a Jewish rabbi named Jesus said to 12 guys, hey, come on, come be my disciples. And he did that meaning more than just, come and walk around on the roads with me. Come and recite the same verses that I say. Come and interpret the scriptures the same way I do. Come and sit in the front row at Sabbath school. No, when he said, come and be my disciple, he meant so much more than that. And we've been looking at what he means in these last several weeks. 2 weeks ago, we knew that when Jesus said that, he meant to come and be with him. Okay? And we got that same call. We need to be with Christ. Last week, we looked at how Jesus said, become like him. And we emphasized love like Christ. What is the loving thing to do? And this week, we get to the dagger. Do what I do. Do what I do, only bigger. Do what Jesus did. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Listen for it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip, another disciple, said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." So Jesus said, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does the work through me. Just believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Did you catch it? Do what Jesus did. Verse 12, do what Jesus did. And at this point, at least half of you guys are like, "Come on, Pastor, seriously? Like, we celebrate Easter. This is the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Do you expect me to die and then be resurrected?" No, I don't. Do I expect you to carry a cross and carry the sins of the world? No, I don't, because Jesus already did that. Now, Jesus did happen to say once that there's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. But I'm not saying that you should go out and die. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if we're going to be truly part of this apprenticeship to Jesus, if we're going to truly be a disciple of Jesus, we've got to stop ignoring this third part of doing what Jesus did. Most of us ignore it. I mean, John 14:12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to the Father." You think Jesus really meant that for us? Seriously? I mean, we can't do those things, the things he did. He was God. Isn't that what we normally say? We can't do the miracles Jesus did. He was God. We can't do the healings he did. He was God. We can't raise people from the dead because Jesus did it because he was God. That's what we normally say, or at least we think. After he was risen, he hung out with his disciples and several other groups for about 40 days, one of those groups being about a group of 500. And after all that, they meet on this hill, and Jesus gets taken back up into heaven. And you'll remember what he says in Matthew 28. He says, "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I've been given all authority under heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the ends of the age.'" As a church, this church and the global church, we are good at emphasizing the last part. Teach them to obey. Wow, we're good at that. But how much of us actually go back to that call where it says, be a disciple, and in that, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did? Training to be like Jesus includes learning to do what he did, because that's what he said. John 14:12, read the underlined with me. "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to the Father." Jesus meant for that to happen. You know how I know? He said it. And he just says, y'all can be dismissed. If I mean, go get some more food, go to the bathroom. If you don't want anything more, he said it. That's enough, right? Yes, he said it. But we see the disciples begin to live this out. Acts chapter 1 begins like this. It says, the promise of the Holy Spirit. "In my first book," this is Luke, "I told you everything about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit." Did you catch the verb in that first sentence? What Jesus began to do and teach? Began means that something's going to continue. Am I right? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. began being that something's going to continue. So did the disciples continue doing and teaching what Jesus did and taught? Yeah. It's crazy. Read the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Jesus would preach powerfully. Amen? Amen? He would. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up, preaches powerfully. What happens? 3,000 people come to faith and start following Jesus. I say that's powerful. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed a crippled beggar. Jesus had gone around healing people. Peter and John just did that. You know other people in Acts that healed people? Peter, John, Stephen, Philip, Paul, Barnabas. They're all recorded as healing people. Was Peter God? Was John God? Was Philip God? Was Silas God? Should I keep going? Nope. That was good. Whoever said that, that was really good. I wonder if we can no longer use the excuse of we can't do it. Jesus did that because he was God and he can't expect us to do it. Because you look in Acts and these disciples who were human beings were doing the same thing Jesus was doing. Jesus raised a guy from the dead, right? Lazarus. So did Peter. Not the same Lazarus. He raised a lady named Tabitha. Was Peter God? No. Was he human? Yes. Did he just do what Jesus did even though Jesus was God? Yes, Jesus cast out many demons. You know who else cast out demons? The disciples. You know, both in Mark 6 and in Matthew 10, but let's give them some credit. That's when Jesus was still there. All right, did it happen after? Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. See if I can find it here. I can't find it. That's all right. Paul and Silas cast out demons, right, as they were going around. In fact, listen to what was said about Paul in Acts chapter 19. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When a handkerchief or apron that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Whew. Some of y'all thinking, well, James, that can't be a call for us still because these guys were the greats, right? They were the legends. They were the ones that hung out with Jesus. They were the ones that were so close to Jesus, they got his pixie dust on him, right? Some of his power boost, whatever the kids are playing these days, you know, when A to B to B to B to A gets you the power boost. Anybody? No? I'm looking at the wrong kids. Was that right? Sure. Yeah? All right. So that's why they had it, right? Because Jesus was still with them? Jesus did these miracles because he was God. Jesus did these miracles because he had the Spirit of God in him. And the disciples had the Spirit of God in them. And you and I have the Spirit of God in us. Luke chapter 4, Jesus gives his first sermon. Sits down, gets the scroll, he turned or tapped to whatever it was. I think it was Isaiah something. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." In Matthew 12, Jesus was debating with some Pharisees about casting out demons, and he said, if I cast out demons by the power of the Spirit, in Acts chapter 10, where'd you go? There you are. Verse 38, 39. "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Question. What did Jesus promise to give the disciples? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, John chapter 14, the same passage that we started in, just a couple of verses later, verses 15 to 17. Says this, "If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask my Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive it because the world isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Verse 26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is my Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. That same Spirit of God that lived in Jesus, that allowed him to do the miracles and the healings and the demon casting, that lived in the disciples, that allowed them to do the miracles, the demon casting, the healing, that same Spirit of God lives in us. So when Jesus gives the command, do what I do, he means it. He absolutely means it. So go and do what Jesus did. Some of you guys are like, I'm going to go get some more food right now because I don't want to hear what's coming next. How many of you have cast out demons? How many of you have raised anybody from the dead? How many of you have healed the sick? I haven't either. Okay, I just want to get that out there. Okay? But it's still happening. If the stories we read on the internet from other countries, if we believe our missionaries from other countries, there are still people being healed. There are still people with demons being cast out. There are still dead being raised. There is still the Word of God being proclaimed powerfully. It's happening in pockets in this country too. We just don't get to hear about it all that often. So, can I expect us to go and do that? Yes. I can. I can't, but since I haven't done it, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I haven't done yet, but let's work towards that, okay? Let's work towards that. I'm going to give us three things that we can do that Jesus did that I think we'll all be more comfortable leaving saying, ooh, I can do that, and Jesus said, do what I did, and Jesus did this, so I'm going to go and do that. Make sense? I'm going to give you three things. This is what you need to remember today, okay? Three things that Jesus did that you and I can do also. First is this, make room for the gospel. Second is this, preach the gospel. Third is this, demonstrate the gospel. How many of you get that same feeling in your stomach when Philippe Petit asks you to, you know, tightrope walk when you hear something like, go preach the gospel? I do, and I'm a paid professional, right? It's my job to be a gospel proclaiming, preaching, making space for the gospel type guy, and allow that just... So I'm not going to change the heart behind these, but I'm going to change the language if I can, okay? Not because the word gospel is bad, not because the word good news is bad, but because I think we can relate to it a little bit more if we change it to this. Three things we can do that Jesus did. First, he made room for the story. Second, he told the story. Third, he lived the story. A little more palatable? A little bit, let's see if we can let this play out. How did Jesus make room for the story? He ate. Now, that's what I said. He ate. Okay, over 50 times in the Gospel of Luke, it records food. All right, one commentator said Jesus was either going to a meal, eating a meal, or leaving a meal. Jesus made space, made room for the story around food. Luke chapter 5, Jesus ate with a tax collector and sinners. Matthew, if you remember his name. Luke chapter 7, Jesus' feet were anointed at a meal at the home of Simon the Pharisee. Luke chapter 9, Jesus fed the 5,000. Luke chapter 10, Jesus ate dinner with Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 19, Jesus ate with Zacchaeus. He said, come here, man, I'm coming to your house to eat. And you know what happened? There was space for the story to be told. Yeah, every one of those times, Jesus was simply making space. We need to make space as well. Will it always be around a table? Not necessarily, okay? It could be on a bus. It could be by the water cooler. It could be at recess. It could be on the golf course. Let me see if I can find somebody who's school age. McCade, sit in the front row, man. You know I'm going to use you as an example. I'm not going to pick on you, okay? You're a freshman in high school. Do you ever eat lunch at school? Yeah, okay, not a tough guy. Do you ever invite anybody to eat lunch with you? You sit with other people. Would you be opposed to inviting somebody?
No.
No, just come and eat with me. All of a sudden, McCade's made room for the gospel. Excuse me, the story. Let's not be churchy. Or let's be churchy. Okay? Got it? Hey, You don't eat with anybody. Come eat with me who got invited by these guys. I know there's a group of you that golfs over the summer. I had a dream the other night that, not that you invited me, because you invite me every year, but that I actually went. It wasn't good. It was not good. But those who golf, you could invite somebody to go play golf with you. That's just making space for the story. The trick is then you got to take that next step and tell the story. And that's where we're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm trained enough. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I have the right words enough. Tell the story of Jesus in your life. Okay? Tell the story of Jesus in your life. That's what Jesus did when he made room. Okay? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he? Someone's about to start singing. Okay? Up in a tree, Jesus walks by and says, hey, come here. I'm going to go to your house today. And you know what? They ate a meal together. And you know what? Zacchaeus started telling him, you know, I'm a changed man now because you have been here, because you have been with me. I'm going to give back all that I have stolen and even more. And you know, Jesus right then said, he said to Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. In the middle of conversation, Jesus tells a big part of his story. Would you agree that seeking a saving a loss is a big part of Jesus' story? Yeah. And it was said in language that could be used around the dinner table. All right, another time, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. We often take this out of context and make a big fancy to-do about it, which is good, we should, but communion, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples around a meal, and he does this. He takes some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it into pieces, gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He's telling his story. After supper, he took another cup of wine, and he said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Jesus was simply telling his story in the space where he had made room for his story to be told. We need to tell the story. Okay, I'm going to come right back to you, man, because again, you're sitting in the front row. If you're still here by the time I get to point three, I'm going to get to you again, okay? Cool. So let's say McCade invites somebody to eat lunch with him. Hey, you want to come eat lunch with me?
Yeah.
That's how it goes, right? I was a freshman once. That's how I used to talk. Okay? So his friend says to him, this is on Monday. This is tomorrow. Hey, man.
Hey.
What'd you do yesterday? Okay, good. Say, I went to church.
Whoa.
Good for you, man. That's cool. You actually believe that? I think Jesus is who he said he is. I'm trying to live my life like him. He just told a story. He didn't say any words like atonement or sanctification or, you know, all the other big churchy words. But he told the story of, yes, I believe Jesus is who he said he is, and I'm trying to live my life like him. Will his friend get it? Maybe. Maybe not. But you know what telling a story has opened up the door for him to do? To live the story. He can live the story. Jesus lived the story. Jesus didn't just say he came to seek and to save the lost. He actually sought and saved the lost. Amen? He sought out Zacchaeus in a tree. He touched lepers that no one else would. He talked to women, which no Jewish rabbi would do. He fought for justice when he cleared the temple. He fed the hungry. Remember the sermon that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 4? Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Right? And everybody in the house is like, amen. That's a great line. Whoa. Okay, sure. Yeah, you guys said too. I was pretending to be back there. But could have been a great line in a sermon. But Jesus lived it. He lived it. When John, his cousin, was in jail, John sent some buddies of his to go ask Jesus, are you really the one? Listen to what Jesus responded. Go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Sound like the sermon he preached? Yep. Sound like he lived it? Yep. So we come back to McCade, who somehow is still in the front row. My goodness, don't move now because this is the last bit. This is the last part, okay? So we got what's going on. McKay's making space to tell the story. Hey, want to eat lunch with me?
Uh-huh.
What did you do this weekend?
Went to church.
Cool. A week later, okay, next week, Monday after the 27th, McKay invites the same kid to eat with him. Oh, I almost have become his friend. You got to be careful there, okay? Whoo, wow.
Hey, man, what'd you do this weekend? Go to church again?
You know what McCabe would say? Yeah, actually. And then in the afternoon, I went with Silas and his dad downtown to serve our Friends Without Homes a meal. Like the home, they were hungry. I read somewhere that Jesus did that, so I'm trying to live my life like Jesus.
He just lived the story. We don't have to make this hard. Okay? We don't have to make it weird. We don't have to be that person that when they knock on your front door, you pretend you're not home. Gary, would you open the door when I knock, please? Jesus lived the story. We are called to live the story as well. We got to make room for the story. We got to tell the story. We've got to live the story. There are so many ways for us to live out the story. So many ways we can live out the gospel, okay? Read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then ask yourself, what would Jesus do if he were me today? If you don't want to read that much, type into the Google machine, what does it look like to live the gospel? I did that this week, okay? And you got some really good options. Just make sure when you do that, cross-check with Scripture to make sure Jesus would have actually done it, okay? We don't have to be scared to do these things. This is doing what Jesus did. Jesus has called us to do what he did. Does the name Philippe Petit mean anything to you? Any of you guys, show of hands, hung out with Philippe Petit, tightrope walk with Philippe Petit? Any of you? Okay, does the name Jesus Christ mean anything to you? Has Jesus invited you to be with him? Has Jesus invited you to become like him? Yes. Has Jesus said, come and do what I do, only greater? Yes. So that's what we should be doing. And it starts as simple as making space to tell the story, telling the story, and then living the story. Would you consider doing that? If you have never done that, if you've never taken Jesus up on his invitation to join him in this story, to apprentice under him, and you want to do that today, and invite you after the service, come and talk to me. Come and talk to the people who will be praying under the cross. But better yet, come and talk to the friend who invited you. Come and talk to the family member who invited you and say to them, I think you like have Jesus in your life. I want to know how to do that too. That's probably the best thing you could possibly do. Next week, we're going to put some flesh on these three. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. We're going to create a rule of life. Don't let that language scare you, okay? I'll come up with something less scary by next week, all right? But this week, between now and then, are you willing to make room for the story? Are you willing to tell the story when God gives you the opportunity and through the power of the Holy Spirit giving you the words that you can use with your ninth grade friends? It's cool. Are you willing to live the story this week? Let's pray. Jesus, I'm baffled that you, even though you were God, filled with the Holy Spirit, that you gave the instructions to the 12 motley crew men that did not fit together, that oftentimes didn't get it. You gave them the instructions to go and do what you have done. And look at where we're at now, Lord. How many people proclaim the name of Jesus? How many people are following Jesus? How many people are living as an apprentice to Jesus? Because you trusted those 12 enough to say, go and do. And Jesus, you trust us as well, which is why you have called us to go and do. On a day where we celebrate a risen Christ, where we celebrate him risen by the power of the Spirit, the same Spirit that lives in each one of us, Lord, I pray that you would make us more alive than we've ever been before. Give us opportunities this week to make room for the story of you in our lives. Give us opportunities to tell of the story. Lord, we're going to trust you for the right words at the right time. Give us opportunities to live the story in a tangible way that people can see. Lord, imagine what 12 did if all 120 of us did that same thing. We'd be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And all God's people said,